I'd like for you to, by the way, I'm so good to see you here in the house of God tonight. I know it's such a busy time and season for everyone, but Lord have mercy, let's don't be too busy for the one that's all about. And I know, I understand, it's a rare time for people to get together, and that's the only thing I don't like about the holidays is sometimes the emphasis changes. But we're going to keep it right where it is. In fact, we're starting the year just with a challenge. I've said it so often, and I think tonight more than at any other time, I say it with all fervency of heart. We must have a spiritual revival in this nation. We've just got to have it. We've absolutely got to have it. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me tonight to Matthew, the second chapter. And while you're turning to Matthew, the second chapter, you are on the right trail, but I'm just going to read part of Luke chapter 1, verse 5. So just you'll hear it, and then we're going on to Matthew 2. The Word of God said, there was in the days of Herod the king, in the days of Herod the king. Hallelujah. You know, we have such an awesome God tonight. I said, we have such an awesome God. Amen. Our God is the ultimate of everything. And there's some things that I have, just simple. I mean, it's profound, but to me, the truths are simple. This whole Christmas story has taken on a whole new thing with me this year, and I've always loved it, but I can't get into any part of it without just seeing all kinds of things that I like to spend a lot of time with, not just because it's Christmas, but because every part of the Christmas story is part of the unfolding of all that God has done. You see, over in, let's go back. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. That's what I want to do anyway. I'll turn back and you'll be there by the time I get there. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about some signs of the times that times really haven't changed that much. Going back to that Luke chapter 1, I want to just read verses 5 through about 15. Verse 15, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. And this whole multitude was there praying. You know, I get turned on every time I see it, and the whole multitude was there praying. And you'll just notice a number of times in the Christmas story how they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And I've got two portions of God's Word, I'm pulled between two things here. Praise God. Let's go back to Matthew, the second chapter. I'll have you thoroughly confused now, but we'll get out of this. Amen. We're in the days of Herod the king, and in Matthew 2, thank you for following me there. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, here's where I'm really going for the emphasis in both Matthew and Luke. And when Herod heard these things. I want you to notice that. If you haven't underlined it, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, And all Jerusalem, listen to this now. We later on read about Jerusalem being stirred by an outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, but their hearts were troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem, of Judea, for it is written by the prophet. That's in Micah, prophesied. And when thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. And then Herod, I don't like to include him so much, but he's important right now. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently, what time did the star appear? And he sent them to Bethlehem, they explained, and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Of course, we know he's lying. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star. which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. I mean, you couldn't get away from this star if you're looking for it. And it stopped. I mean, can you imagine how bright it must have been and how close to earth it must have been? And I mean, you just could not ignore the star. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, there's some things that I want to call to your attention in this portion of God's Word. I know he's a little crusty, and, sometimes he's not easy to listen to, and I mean, I don't sit around listening to television all the time either, but Bill O'Reilly's been on a spree here, and he's Catholic, if I understand what he's saying. And he is aggravated because churches are not speaking up. He said, if the clergy and the priest and the churches don't speak up, I'm going to speak up. I'm going to speak up. And he's just had a stomach full of churches living in paranoia and fear of being sued for anything and everything. The Knights of Columbus, somewhere in Texas, that do a lot of charitable and wonderful things. They were threatened to be sued because they had something about Christ and I believe a cross. And they had to take it down and take it. I mean, this is something that's not just, for Protestants, it's Catholics and, the whole nation. And he said, if pastors and priests don't speak up, I must. That's what Bill O'Reilly said. And he is blasting. He may be calmed down now, but he was excited, and well, he should be. Because, folks, we live in a time when this nation was started by godly, God-fearing people. The first school building was in a church house. And I'll tell you, the church has been the cornerstone of America as we know it or have known it up until this time. Jesus has been literally kicked out of schools, communities, capital areas, public places, and a lot of churches cannot have any kind of religious symbol that under the zoning of nowadays. So the church is running scared in many quarters. But let me just give you some one-liners here that come out of what I've just got through reading. But wise men and women, of course, then and now, still seek Jesus. Wise men and women still seek Jesus. Times were different, or were they? Times were different, or were they? Taxes were high and getting higher. Our president has flown back from Hawaii at the great sacrifice of golf games to come back to try to make sure that our taxes are raised. Well, in the same time, a woman 9 months pregnant had to ride a donkey to go register. I mean, it's unthinkable. I mean, you know, that's not fair. That's not nice. Taxes were high and they were getting higher. And you know, if my faith was not in God, I know what God's called Calvary to do, and I know what God's called me and us to do. But you see, Herod, times were different. Herod saw no wrong in killing babies. Well, excuse me, they were 2 years old. Saw no wrong. And I know someone's going to peg me as being cold-hearted, but I mean, in the midst of the tragedy up in New England, we've forgotten the tragedy of 50 million babies. And God only knows how many today have lost their lives or this week. I don't like to say that, but someone's got to say it. Someone's got to say it. It's not right. And we love everyone that has made a mistake. And I mean, there's no condemnation in this house, but I've got to speak where we are and speak the word of God. Fear stalked the land. A lot of fear in the world tonight. Herod saw no wrong. There was only one answer then, and there's only one answer today, and that's a Holy Ghost Jesus revival. Holy Ghost Jesus revival. And in all due respect, you know, we swing the bat from the left and swing it from the right, and there's nothing wrong with candlelight services, but I mean, I'd rather lay hands than light candles. But that's okay. You can do both. But I mean, a lot of people turned out for candlelight services that don't know Jesus. And there was no Holy Ghost, and there was no real worship of God. It was just the flickering of candles. I know we had a lady that got upset and left us on Berry Street. And she came back after a few weeks, and she said, you know, I thought you were too flamboyant and rambunctious and running these buses and so on. She said, I just wanted to go to a church that had the candles. And she went to a church, and the priest backed into the candles and almost set him on fire. And she said, all of a sudden it dawned on me, I asked the people, where are the kids? Where are the young people in this church? We used to attend this church. There's no children. There's no young people here. They said, oh, dear, don't you know we don't have children and young people? Well, she said, you know, I think I'm going back where I came from. And she came in and said, I'm glad to be back home where we have children, where we have young people, where we have people being born again. And there's not just enough fire to set the priest on fire. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But wise men then and now still seek him. Now here's another insight that we have. Wise men went to Washington of their day and time to seek answers. And I'm just going to prophesy a little bit here tonight. I believe we're going to see things get so crazy that Washington is going to seek the church for answers. We're the only ones that have the answer. They're taking the young man that did that tragedy, and they're scientifically checking everything in his body. They're checking everything but his sinful heart. It's not the chemistry of your body. It's the heart. It's the heart that was wicked. That wasn't God that did that. It wasn't that he was born wrong. The man's heart was wrong. He didn't know Jesus. If you know Jesus, you won't do something like that. So the wise men literally went to Washington. They went to Herod, and they said, do you know anything about where this... Follow the analogy of it. They went to the Washington of their day and time to seek answers from Herod. Herod, what about this? And the government only found taxes and a few other things as being the answer to it. But as soon as Herod could, he goes to the back room and he calls on the clergy. He calls on the clergy of that day and time and says, what does your Bible say about this Jesus? You missed my point there. Herod in the back room is now consulting the clergy of his day and time. Said, what does your Bible say about where this Jesus will be born? He believed that that Bible had the answer. I'm on to something. So Herod calls on the clergy, asking them, what does your Bible say about Jesus? And I believe with all of my heart that we're going to see some exciting activity in that realm. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Then Herod came out and said, well, I'm religious too. I'm a Christian. Honey, it takes more than saying I'm a Christian to be a Christian. You've got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and have the fruits of salvation. And, you know, Herod said, oh, when you find him, tell me about him. I want to come worship him. No, you lying rascal. You want to kill him is what you want to do. Because you see, when the Magi come, it's not just three of them. There's a crowd of them. And they're kingmakers and they're searching for the king. Do you see what's happening here? They're talking to a king, searching for the king. And a king picks up on this. I'm a king, but I may not be a king for long if they can find the real king, because this real king may dethrone me. Oh, Jesus. This thing's strong. They came to the clergy of their day and time and said, what does your Bible say about Jesus? Whew. Man, that's strong. So Herod calls on the clergy. But oh, thank God. I'm going to say to you, and I say to me, and I say to this church and to all of us, we're not going to let the Herod of government steal our faith in God. We're not going to let the fear of government steal our faith in God. Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Now, let's go over to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. I'm going to give you some encouragement. I hope I didn't frighten anyone there. But you know, this is so parallel to where we are today. Taxes. Our legislators, they're locked. I mean, everything's upside down. They don't know what to do. Our president doesn't know what to do. All he wants to do is raise their taxes. And he will. Unless God supernaturally intervenes. But let's look at this 9th chapter of... I'll be there in just a moment. My pages are sticking. There we go. The Bible said in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, in verses 7 and 8... Actually, 6 it starts. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But really my emphasis here is in verses 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now here are the final points I want to give you. Yes, the world came to the Washington of their day and time to try to find an answer. And then the Washington of that day and time sought out the clergy for the answer. They could tell you the geographical location, but they wouldn't travel the 8 miles to see it for themselves. 8 miles from where they were reading this, what Micah said, they could have gone to see for themselves. But Herod didn't go, and the others didn't go. Only the wise men followed through. Now, I want you to write this down. The government was and still is upon his shoulders. The government. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has the spiritual and the political ID and credentials to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whoever is in the White House, whoever they may be, he, she, whatever age, I'm telling you, the Bible declares that the government shall be upon his shoulders. We haven't read the last chapter yet. We haven't heard the last song yet. So the government shall be upon his shoulders. We need to rejoice in that, all right? Number two, there's the word increase here. Of the increase. Verse 7, of the increase. Say it out loud, increase. 2013 will be a year of increase. The government is upon his shoulders. Increase. Increase. Increase in you. Increase in the church. Increase in the kingdom of God. It's time for increase. Shout it out. Increase. Yes. Increase. The third thing that comes to us out of Isaiah chapter 9, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God's zeal doesn't quit. I said God's zeal does not quit. Write that down. God's zeal does not quit. When God gives a word, I don't care who comes against that word, how many years go by, who stands up against it, or what armies try to come against it. Mark it down. No word that is given by God will fail to prosper. God's word will come to pass. The zeal of the Lord. The zeal of the Lord of hosts. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And I want to remind you of something else. The zeal of the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. I'm very honest. I can understand why there's a lot of people that are very frustrated. There's a lot of clergy that are frustrated. A lot of evangelicals that are frustrated. Folks, we can't focus on what's wrong. I mean, correct it when we can. We've already voted whatever your conscience was. But we've got to get on with what God called us to do. We've got to get on with what God called us to do. And the zeal of the Lord is going to finish what God has started. Now, some of you have read church history, and we have some excellent books in the bookstore. But do you realize that's going back to, is it the 1800s, isn't it? Some of you don't even realize this nation was in such trouble that children were drunken in the streets and literally falling out because of too much liquor. Not that they bought it Majestic or wherever it might be, but I mean, it was just plentiful. Children, things were so out of control that children were drunken in the streets. And yet, out of that, thank God for the Whitfields and the Finneys and the revivalist of days gone by. It was Holy Ghost revival that brought a nation from children being drunken in the streets before noon. It was Holy Ghost revival, David, that brought us out of that. And we survived that, and we've seen the healing revival and the Holy Ghost revival, and we've seen a lot of things. But it's time for a new wave of God's power. That's why I keep, so many people say, Pastor Nichols, you haven't given up on revival. No, I haven't. If we had one here besides me tonight, I'm not giving up on the fact that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by God's Spirit. It's by God's Spirit. This church has seen Holy Ghost revival. That's not the only thing a church does. I realize we're a family church, we're a word church, we're a teaching church, we're a preaching church. But part of what God called us to do is to be a place where the fire of God burns. Where the fire of God burns. Hallelujah. So the zeal of the Lord, let's lock on that zeal. Zeal, it's fervency. Zeal doesn't quit. God's zeal does not quit until there's a performance of God's word. God's zeal does not quit. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. From children being drunken in the streets. Back in the 1800s, you said, my Lord, what's this nation come to? Kids are drunken in the streets. Now they're drunk on drugs. Now we see the same parallels with untimely deaths of young people. And we've had our share of things that have touched even families of this church. But folks, out of it all, our hope is Jesus. Our hope is Holy Ghost revival. Our hope is not in what our families or our children or our grandchildren are doing right now. Our hope is in what God promised to do. And the only answer There's not enough psychiatrists in the world. We're trying to psychoanalyze why this young man did what he did. He did what he did because he was under the power of Satan. It was satanic. It was demonic. The zeal of the Lord will do that. And if you still need some encouragement, it talks right here about the Lord sent a word unto Jacob. I'm going to tell you, if God can do it with Jacob, he can do it with anybody. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wound up being one of the Trinity of the Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Everyone's right. Are you Robert Nichols? Yeah, I'm Robert. Are you the Robert Nichols used to live on? Yeah, I'm the. Are you the Robert Nichols that did? Yeah. Unfortunately, yes. Are you Robert? But I tell you, little Robert grew up. Little Robert got born again. Little Robert got full of the Holy Ghost. My whole life was changed. We've seen multitudes of other lives change. Don't see them where they are. See them where you're believing for them to be. I tell you, my mother more than once said, son, you'll go to hell over my dead body. You're not going. You're not going. Praise God. And God honored her prayers. Oh, praise God. Remember Jacob. Remember Jacob. God finishes what he starts. So what I've said, in the days of Herod, yeah, in the days we live in, and then going back to the days of Herod as we're studying the wise men, the Magi coming in, they come to Washington saying, Washington has all the answers. You're getting our money. We want our money's worth. Where's the Christ child? Well, and then they have to go to the church and say, church, what does the Bible say about this Jesus? Folks, we're getting ready to see some unusual things. You're going to remember this message. I haven't had time to smooth it out. I mean, I just came out of the closet and here it is. Praise God. I've just been meditating on this and rejoicing in what God has done. Because the zeal of the Lord, the zeal of the Lord in your life and my life and your family and my family, in our church and in the work of God, the zeal of the Lord is going to bring to pass what God has promised. The zeal of the Lord is going to do it. I said the zeal of the Lord is going to do it. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Praise God. We must have spiritual revival, and it just happens that God majors in Holy Ghost, Jesus revival. Increase of the increase of His government, not the increase of the government. It looks like there's no stopping the increase of the government of Washington, but I'm telling you, the increase of His government, of the increase of His government, there shall be no end. Hallelujah. 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 Well, it's shouting time, saints. I just want to encourage you a little bit. Increase. I wonder if something I said rang your bell tonight, just come up here. Let's lift our hands and praise God for increase and revival and outpouring. And some of you need some special strength tonight. We're just going to believe that in these final moments of this service, I know you've had some long hours, many of you have. We're going to lift our heart, and we're candidates for increase tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Increase. Increase. Increase.